Hello and welcoming on to the Let's Talk Autism Teacup episodes. That means they're only 5 minutes long. We don't know why that's a teacup, but there we are. I'm Michelle Davey. This is Christelle.
Hello, everyone.
And this is Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Oh, Amy, this feels a bit weird because actually we've only got 5 minutes and you're a new guest. So that's a bit annoying. That's going to annoy me because I feel like, well, we've already said, haven't we, that we're going to do
it's
a longer
torture.
Episode.
Because I can talk for England as well, so just tell me to shut up.
Oh, that's all right. I'm not like that at all.
Is it?
But tell us a little bit about you. You're going to basically, what this could be for you is kind of like a trailer, like a teaser for your main. You like that, Christelle, don't you? Yeah. So
yeah,
for the main episode, yeah. So
okay,
go for it. The floor is yours.
So obviously my name's Amy, and I have a neurodiverse son. Well, I have two children. So I have Jack is nearly 11 and he was diagnosed autistic at the age of 4, predominantly the profile of Asperger's, but obviously it doesn't come under that anymore. And then just this year he received his ADHD diagnosis, which wasn't a shock at all, but given wait times, we waited 5 years for that, but ended up going private because it got to the point where he was struggling so badly. He's mainly crippled by the inattentiveness with ADHD. So it got to the point that he needed interventions and help. So we ended up going privately, which has been somewhat life-changing for him and for us. For the last 6 years, have dedicated so much of my time to learn about the whole spectrum, you know, how, especially within school, and fighting tirelessly for him to get the education that he deserves. He does have an EHCP that we secured in reception year, but it's now coming up to final year of primary, and for me, I want him to go to specialist for secondary. Academically capable, yes, with scaffolding of support, absolutely, but it's about environment, and he's not going to cope with changing a class every hour, a different teacher every hour, not consistent one-to-ones. The social side of secondary school, like anyone knows, is brutal, and he's not going to cope with that, and I'm not prepared for him to be some sort of mental health experiment. My next battle is fighting for specialist placement, which we're in the process now. I've done the EHCP review, we've contacted mainstreams about meeting needs, I've rectified his section F in EHCP over and over again to try and make it as watertight as possible, because I've got to get it right. I've got to get it right for him.
How has the school been supporting you with that? Are they been supportive about that?
I'm so lucky that we moved him to a much smaller school. It's a mainstream school, but it's a village school with only 58 children. And the head that is there, I previously knew her from his old juniors. She originally was the Senko there, and she took the headship at this school. And she stayed in contact with me because she knew that Jack wasn't coping in the class of 30. Just the environment itself was too much for him. And she said, come and see, much smaller class sizes. And his EHCP wasn't being implemented at the old school. They wasn't, you know, it got to the point that he's a bright boy and he was sat outside colouring in Pokemon pictures because they didn't know what to do with him. They couldn't cope with his anxiety. So he made the transition halfway through year 4. And we haven't looked back. They've been, it's not without its struggles, because it's always a struggle for Jack, school. But the school themselves have been nothing but 100% behind me and doing everything to support the application for us to transition him to specialist for secondary.
And can we backtrack just a little bit? Why did it take so long for a diagnosis that you now had to head the private route?
CAMS, their waitlist. Waitlist for over 5 years. And I kept chasing and saying to them, you know, where is he? Come on, we're struggling here. And I just kept getting told it's the system. We have my GP writing to them. COVID, obviously everyone loves to use COVID as their get out clause. And obviously COVID would have impacted it. You know, of course it would have impacted wait times, but I said to him, you know, I said to them, how can you go from a child that was referred at 5 for this assessment, where now he's coming up 11 and you still can't tell me how long we are till the top. But then once we get to the top and we get a diagnosis, you're then telling me it's a further 2 years on top of that for any interventions, so any medication or therapies. So you would have been looking at from 5 to 13 to even just started to scratch the surface.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And it's just, it's a, the system is, it's more than broken. Yeah. Something needs to change. Something does need to change. It does.
So your son, he's going into year?
Six.
Year six. Well, Amy, I really wish you the best of luck. You are going to come on. And I think that'd be a really interesting topic to talk about, this transfer to a specialist school and your journey with that. Mm. But for the meantime, before you come on to do that episode, where can people find you and go and follow your journey?
So I have currently set up a new Instagram page separate from my personal page. So it's all going to be content about advocating, support. I'm training currently to be a counsellor because I predominantly want to support the neurodiverse community. But obviously, you know, of course, I would help anybody who's neurotypical as well. But that's where I want to focus. So my Instagram page is neurospice and all things nice.
Nice.
Thank you. Love Thanks so name. Much. Definitely go and follow Amy and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thanks, guys. It was lovely to meet you.
Thanks for coming on.
Take care. Bye.